If you have your Bible with you this morning, pick it up and find the New Testament book of Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul is writing from prison. He's writing to this young church of Philippi believers that he had a deep connection with. He often talks about how much joy he had in their growth in Christ, and in his relationship with them brought him great joy. And from prison in Rome, he writes the Philippians to school them in their faith, to celebrate with them what God is doing, but also to warn them. He warns them about false teachers in the church, people who claim to be Christians and disciples and followers of Christ, but in fact, they're false teachers. And to put it in terms we're using this morning, they're bad examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And Paul is going to contrast the difference between him and those who, the group that he associates with and that he lives as an example for, contrast them with these false teachers who are bad examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So look there with me in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul says, "Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself." Faithful followers of Christ seek out faithful followers of Christ and follow them. If we're all following Christ together, then we want to be more like Christ, and one of the best ways to do that is to have an example before you, a person who faithfully follows Christ, one, two, three, or more, but they're faithfully following Christ, and by observing their example and following their pattern, you also are seeking to faithfully follow Christ, and you'll come closer to doing that. Last week we talked about the word imitate. And in many places in the New Testament, just as the passage we looked at last week, the term means to mimic. That is, to look at a person's behavior and simply do what they do. But the word translated imitation here is a little bit different. It has a slightly different meaning undergirding the word. Here it means to intentionally become the same product. That is, Paul is saying, I am trying to produce in my life an end result, and you should try to produce the same end result. It's not just about right now, it's who you're going to be. It's the direction that you're going. So he says, imitate me and others like me who are trying to produce the same end result. What's that end result? Being more like Christ and being faithful to Jesus Christ. That underscores that intentionality, the fact that you can't do that by accident. You have to intentionally establish, you have to make a decision that I am going to be a disciple and I'm going to keep my eyes on the end product. I want to be the person God wants me to be. I want to be a follower of Christ, and I will follow people who are followers of Christ to get there. Fred Whitfield was one of the owners and president of the Charlotte Bobcats, and he knew Michael Jordan, had a great friendship, and they had a partnership with the Bobcats as well. And at the time, Michael Jordan had his very lucrative contract with Nike. Well, as the story goes, Fred Whitfield and Michael Jordan were working together on some projects, and Jordan came over to Whitfield's house to work there. Then they were going to go out to dinner. And when they're getting ready to leave, Michael Jordan said, "You have a jacket that I can borrow." And Whitfield said, "Sure, just go in the closet and pick one out." Well, when he came back out, Michael Jordan was not wearing a jacket or carrying a jacket. Instead, he was carrying an armload of sports gear. And he laid it down on the living room floor. And right away, Whitfield saw that that particular mound of sports clothing and gear was made by Puma. Michael Jordan didn't say anything. He just put the stuff in the living room floor. He went into the kitchen. He got a butcher knife. He came back out and he started shredding it, slicing up all those clothes just right there in front of Whitfield. And when he finished, he scooped it up, he went outside, he put it in the dumpster, he came back in, and he said to Whitfield, "You cannot ride the fence. It's Nike or it's not." See, part of our problem is we've never really committed to discipleship intentionally. We've never made a choice. It's Jesus is the end product or it's not. We either live for Christ or we don't. And if we do, we're not doing it passively. We've got to make a decision, an intentional decision. I want to be a follower of Christ, so I will follow faithful followers of Christ. And listen to this, I want to be the kind of example as a follower of Christ others can follow. You ever thought about that? If someone's watching your life right now, could they look at you, a babe in Christ, a brand new adult believer, look at your life and say, I want to be like them. They're not perfect, but I know as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are growing in their faith. They are active in the church. They are praying regularly. They know the Word of God. They're doing their best. I want to follow them because if I follow them, I will follow them toward the end product of being faithful to Jesus Christ and being like Christ. Maybe today is the day you would say, I've got to finally say yes. I'm going to make my choice. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I want to be a disciple others can look to and follow me if they need an example. The plain truth is, there are good examples, there are bad examples. We teach our children all the time, not every role model is a good example. Just because they're a role model doesn't mean they're a good example. We want our children to pay attention to good examples, good role models. Jesus wants us to pay attention to good examples, good role models of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I want you to consider with me this morning for a few minutes the impact of that choice on your life. The impact of the examples you have in your life of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and in turn the impact that you will have on others when you make that choice. First, the example you choose to follow reveals your relationships, and it is revealed in your relationships. Never underestimate the power of relationships in your life, the power of people in your life, or if you want to just put it plainly, the peer pressure. The people, we tend to act like the people that we want to please and the people that we want to be around and the people that we're paying attention to. The Apostle Paul said, observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Observe those who live according to the example you have in us. The term observe means put a scope on them. It actually gives us our word scope. It means focus directly on those who are good examples of what it means to follow Christ. And don't deviate that from that, Paul says. And here the term used for example means pattern. Focus on those, put your scope of the life, your observation on those whose lives are a pattern of what it means to follow Christ. Now, this is an important point. You know, a pattern is what we're looking for in our lives. He's not talking about life, he's talking about lifestyle. He's talking about the way you prioritize, the way you make decisions, the way you behave in public, and does it match the way you behave in private? He's talking about the pattern of life that indicates that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's calling upon us to observe those who have that pattern in their lives. You know what that implies? That implies a long-term relationship. That implies that we get to know people personally in the community of faith that we're in, and we observe how they live their lives. And when we recognize Christ in their life and in their lifestyle, we say, I want to follow them because they're a faithful follower. They're showing it in their pattern. And consider somebody's watching your life. If they've got the scope on your life, they're observing your life that closely, over a period of time, will you show that kind of pattern? Will you show a pattern of behavior, a thought life, priorities, reactions, relationships? Will you show the pattern of your life that, yes, I am a follower of Christ? And I would be a good example for someone else to observe and follow. It will show in your relationships. Paul contrasts this to those false teachers. He says, observe my life and those like me, because we are in contrast to those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Did you notice that? We are in contrast to those. observe those who follow Christ, be one of those who follows Christ, and the more you follow Christ, it becomes a pattern of your life. The more the pattern of your life unfolds, the more you live in contrast to those who do not know Christ. If there's no contrast, not enough for people to observe, then you have a problem. So can someone say of you, well, observe him, observe her, and you'll know what it means to follow Christ. It's revealed in your relationships. Secondly, the example you choose to follow and the relationships you have shapes your values. Shapes your values. To be a follower of Christ means to have values that are expressed in our life that indicate we know Jesus Christ and we are followers of Jesus Christ. Again, by contrast, the Apostle Paul explains this. He illustrates what the enemies of the cross of Christ, these false teachers, what their values are. Verse 19, their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, they are focused on earthly things. He says basically there's three characteristics of these false teachers who are bad examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. First, their end is destruction. Now, you may not know it yet, he says, but you're observing lives, and if you're observing lives, the end product of their lives is destruction. It's not being more like Jesus Christ. You watch their life now, and you ask yourself, if this pattern sustains, if they keep behaving this way, at the end of it all, where are they going to end up? And then he says, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame. Here he's just talking about they are invested in self-interest. They are self-centered, they are selfish, they are self-confident, they are not submitted to Christ. They are all about satisfying and gratifying themselves and their flesh in this life. So that's the second characteristic. How do you know that's a bad example? Ask yourself, what are their priorities? Are their priorities all about them? All about satisfying and gratifying their selfish desires? Or is it about Jesus Christ? Then third, he says they are focused on the earthly life. They are focused on earthly things. Their mind is not in the things of God. Their mind is in the things of this earth. They're all about making money. They're all about ambition. They're all about climbing the ladder of success. They're all about whatever makes them look good. You can get the list. It goes on and on. But that's an indication. That's a bad example of discipleship. That is not somebody you want to follow, because their end at the end of it all, they're not going to be more like Jesus. They're going to end in destruction. The contrast in values is staggering between those who are growing in Christ and following Christ and those who are not. We see those values all the time in the world around us, but sometimes we see it in the church as well. And the core value that distinguishes us is if we are all about ourselves or we are about Jesus. That's the big difference. When we make decisions, are we making them based on what we want, how it impacts us, how it gratifies us, or are we looking at our Lord Jesus and saying, what would you want? I want to surrender to you. I want to submit to you. I want to follow Christ rather than my own ambitions. So the example we follow shows in our values, and we can observe those values in other people. And then third, Paul says, it shows in our perspective. It shows in our perspective. What motivates us often in the decisions we make, in our behaviors, in our actions, is our perspective on life. What we really believe about life. And Paul says, while the false teachers are focused on the things of this earth, he then says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Elsewhere in the book of Colossians, he says, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this earth. That is, make an intentional decision that your perspective will be on the things of God. Your focus will be on the things of God. That even as you operate in this life and even as you serve God in this life, you are focused on the things of God even above. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, in English, we translate that little phrase, is in kind of a vague way, but Paul was more specific. The word it comes from means that you are permanently positioned in heaven. You are permanently positioned in heaven. That means that if you're sitting in this room this morning and you know without a doubt that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you've trusted Him as your Savior, and you know without a doubt that on that day, God saved you from your sins. At that moment, God permanently positioned you in heaven. He established a citizenship for you with Him in heaven. In God's way of thinking and in God's perspective, you are, in a sense, already there. That's your kingdom. That's your citizenship. That's your zip code. Not here. Spiritually speaking, you're already there. So the way you live in this life now is based on the fact you're already there. Now in this life, you live for the things of God. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow examples who follow Him. That's your perspective, and you're always looking up so that no matter what happens in this life, you know ultimately you are already a citizen of heaven. You don't have to work for it again. You don't have to be perfect for it. God's already saved you and positioned you there. Now your job is to serve Him here. I love it when Paul gets wrapped up in things. Gets wrapped up in his perspective. So he unpacks it just a bit. He says, because I know I'm already permanently positioned in heaven, and because you know you're already permanently positioned in heaven, there's a few other things you need to know. First of all, because of that, we are eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. We are eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. Live in that perspective and see how it changes your behavior. Live in that perspective. Look for people as an example of discipleship who live with a knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back. And Paul says, second, when He comes back, we're going to be transformed. This body that we have is not the last one we'll get. This isn't it. Sometimes this life is suffering. Sometimes this life is heartache. And Paul looks up and he says, here's my perspective. I serve Jesus now no matter the circumstances. He'll always take care of me. And one day I'll be transformed. He's coming back. I will be transformed. But in the meantime, I know that's the end product. The end product is to be like Christ. So I'm going to keep working and serving and doing as much as I can to be like Jesus now. Then he says, last, when Jesus comes back, not only will we be transformed, we will be vindicated. All things, all creatures, all creation will be subject to the Lord's authority. As Paul says elsewhere in this same book, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why does that matter? I'll tell you why it matters. Live in the perspective that no matter what's said to you, no matter what's done to you, you are faithfully serving Christ in this life because you know your God is God. He is the Lord and He is coming back. And one day, someday, He needs to find you faithful. He needs to find you faithful. The example we follow will shape that perspective. Follow people who follow Christ. Seek to be more like Christ. That the end product would demonstrate you have been faithful. You have been faithful. And your desire from your heart, even as we live in the grace of God, at the same time we faithfully serve our Lord Jesus in that perspective that He's coming back. It makes a big difference, the perspective we have on our lives. Sometimes we get challenged. Sometimes we get grumpy. Sometimes we get discouraged. But if we will remember our citizenship is in heaven, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true God, loves us enough to care for us, loves us enough to come back for us. Keep our perspective on that. And we'll be more faithful followers of Christ. Bert and John Jacobs. They're the two brothers that started the company Life is Good. You got one of those Life is Good t-shirts at home? Well, these two guys started that company. They were the two youngest siblings of six siblings. And they grew up in Boston to a lower middle class family. And when the Jacobs were in elementary school, their parents were involved in a very bad car accident. Both survived the accident. Mom with some broken bones and bruises, and she healed up. But Dad lost the use of one hand and a good bit of one side of his body. So over time, the Jacobs brothers say they showed their dad's attitude changed a bit about life. He became bitter and became resentful. And the memories they have of their dad is a man with great anger. He's just harsh words, lots of anger. You didn't want to cross him. Because everything changed for him that day, and he didn't get to live the life that he thought he would live. Their mom, on the other hand, was completely different. In fact, their mom was the inspiration for the company. Life is good. They remember their mother as being wholly optimistic about everything, always cheerful, always optimistic, always looking on the good side of things. And that was one of her favorite phrases, life is good. Life is good. When the kids would come home in the evening for the evening meal and they gather around the table, if Dad was there, sometimes the attitude would start out kind of somber and moody. But they say their mom always said the same thing when they sat down to eat. She always said to all six of them the same thing. Tell me something good that happened today. And he says, once they started talking, everybody started talking. They'd end up laughing and they'd be riffing on somebody else's story. And while they sat down in a somber mood, they got up excited about life. They say they remember their mom not just reading them bedtime stories. She would get the book and act it out. Just act out the bedtime stories. They said they remember getting up in the morning and hearing their mom in the kitchen singing. Didn't even know why, what it was about, even what day. The first thing they heard in the kitchen was mom singing. And they both point back to her as the inspiration for not just a company, but for a life focused on this one thing. Life is good. Because along the way, they made a choice of which example they would listen to. Mom or Dad? Consider first this morning. Are you the kind of life, the kind of example that someone can observe and see Christ at work? Someone can look at your life and say, I will follow them. Because they're following Jesus faithfully, and they're a good example. But secondly, what example have you chosen to follow? Would you today say, I want to choose to follow someone who's following Christ? Maybe you've been passive, unintentional about your discipleship up to this moment. Would you decide with the Lord today, I'm not going to float anymore. I want to grow in Christ intentionally. I want to follow someone who's following Christ. I want to listen to examples that know the Lord. I want to learn how to pray from someone who prays. I want to learn how to study the Bible from someone who studies the Bible. I want to learn how to react to problems from someone who's had problems and reacted Christ-like. I want to learn what it's like to handle devastation in my life, suffering in my life, from someone who has suffered and they're still living for Jesus. Would you make a decision today to follow someone who's following Christ? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, God, it may be across this room there's one or two, maybe more of us that realize I've never been intentional, made any real decisions or choices about following Jesus or following someone who does. God, if that's us, I pray today, Father, very simply, we would make a decision to follow an example who follows Christ. To keep our eyes on the end product of who it is you want us to be in Jesus Christ. But God, also I pray for us that we would realize there are people watching us. And God, can we be that kind of example to someone else? If we would say no today, God, help us to change that. Help us to change that, Father, that we could help someone else be more like Christ, because that's our goal, that's our mission, that's our desire as well. Father, forgive us where we have been bad examples. Forgive us, God, where we have not risen to the occasion of the New Testament and the community of Christ, where we have not exemplified in our lives, God, what it means to be a believer in Christ. Forgive us for that, God. And may today be the day that changes, So, Father, I pray for all of us here as believers in Christ, Father, that when we rise up and leave this place, God, we will have made a brand new commitment, a decision today to be examples and to follow godly examples as well. And God, may there be one or two in here, Father, who need to start their journey with Christ today. I pray today they would trust Jesus Christ to be saved and cleansed of their sin and to begin that journey following Christ as a disciple today. God, there may be other decisions we need to make. You know what they are. Father, if it's to join fellowship with this church, if it's to step out and commit to missions or leadership, God, whatever it is you have on our hearts, Father, let this be the day we step out in faith. We make that decision, that choice to follow Christ wherever you lead us. So, God, I pray you'd bless this time of response today. And I pray, God, we would submit to you, we would yield to you, and we would trust Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.